Welcome to another broadcast of the Work for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College and co-host of the program. Welcome to the program, Doc.
Thank you. It's always refreshing to be here with you.
We were talking as we started out the broadcast today about something that I know is a, kind of a buzzword out in the marketplace, and really in just about everywhere you go, you see it. And we were talking about the idea of a mission statement. Talk about it, how important in your thinking a mission statement is.
Well, a mission statement is very settling. We as believers know our mission statement, at least doxologically, is to glorify God. We know that's our focus.
No matter what context we're in.
No matter what, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's a very clear, settling statement that we are alive to God's glory. It is very settling for a ministry to have a clear mission statement, because if you have no mission statement, you really don't know where you are going.
Yeah, somebody said it's like a compass that keeps you pointing in the direction that you're supposed to be headed.
And I think one of the broadcasts in the future, we're going to do the 12 targets that we should be shooting towards in discipleship. That is a mission statement to make a disciple, but then you have the steps to make that mission happen. It's crucial to me, if you're going to have a very settled organization, a very settled corporation, a settled family, a settled church ministry, that you need to have a clear mission statement, and everyone involved in that organization knows what that mission statement is.
I know you used to have, and I think you still do, you used to have everybody at Northland carry little cards that had the extended, I still have mine,
yes,
the extended mission statement of the organization, and then you actually got us to focus in on a very simple way to remember that, preparing the next generation of servant leaders for Great Commission living.
That's the boiled down version of the major
right
that we have on our wall in administration building.
So the question today is, how do you make that happen? I mean, how do you make sure that the mission that you have in your mind and that you have people talking about, how do you make that happen?
Well, sometime back, as our ministry here was growing numerically, numerical growth has blessings, and numerical growth has burdens.
Dangers.
Because you're involving more people. Every time you involve more people, you have more potential problems. And people are a mission, not a burden. That is, they are a blessing, but they have to be a mission for us, not a mess in our minds.
Yeah. And oftentimes they come as a mess.
And
they
I began noticing as we grew, we had to add structure. We had to add to the flow chart. We had to set department heads over regions, dining hall maintenance, building, inner building maintenance, etc. And I began noticing that there was a little bit of power struggle going on. There was a little bit of ownership of my department. There was this mentality that rather than cooperation, it ended up to be more confrontation in some things when a dining hall, for example, would request something of maintenance or another department would request something, and began sensing a little bit of power struggles, not major, but enough to put red flags up in my mind to say that if we're not careful, our mission is going to be affected by these things. So I did a session with our directors called How Does Mission Happen? And at the base of my little chart, I put our mission. And that was, we all understood our mission statement. We all understand it. We're making disciples for
right
a Great Commission living.
Right.
We all understand it. Everyone who hires in knows that why he gets paid is the second reason why he's here. The number one reason is to make a disciple, no matter what area you're working
in. And he has a special platform that skills and abilities God has given him work toward helping them accomplish that goal.
Yeah, for example, somebody comes to work in maintenance and they don't, you say, go and get that socket. Well, kids who have never raised, they don't know what a socket is. So a part of that is teaching. But then in the midst of it, you're teaching through your spirit what a Christian is in that context of life. And so I said mission happens by relationships. And in other words, we are all here with a clearly defined mission. But that mission happens through maintaining relationships of people within that ministry or within that corporation.
And that's the hardest part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, because it demands a discipline, a focus. It demands sacrificing myself. It demands what we talked about with what Solomon modeled. of being a servant,
right.
Sharing, speaking good words. It takes time. You remember some months back in the broadcast, we did tools that build relationships.
Right.
And the first tool was time. And we took that from 1 Peter 3:7.
Yes.
As far as a husband-wife relationship, a husband must make time. Well, it's the same thing in a ministry. If you have no time together, you have a very difficult time establishing solid relationships.
There's no trust.
There's no trust factor. And so you not only do you spend time, but you think of that other person's
mm-hmm.
need.
Mm-hmm.
A husband has to think of his wife ahead of himself
mm-hmm.
if he's going to have a growing relationship. A person within the ministry has to think of others first. If I'm ahead of a department, I have to think, how can I help dining hall? How can I help administration? What can I do to help those who are maintaining inner buildings?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? So my first thing is not, don't touch my area, is what can I do to help lift the load in your area?
Right.
So that involves thinking. It involves tenderness. That is, okay, I'm going to be very, consider you very valuable. I'm going to honor you in this work. I consider you valuable to the overall mission statement.
And that's a whole different way of thinking from the way we normally think in our own
right,
flesh.
Right, because we wake up and put a circle and we put me in the middle of that circle.
Right.
Then outside that circle, those who serve me. Well, when the Apostle Paul woke up, he drew a circle and he put Christ. And then those who serve Christ, which is two whole ways of living.
Yes.
But if I wake up and my circle has me in the middle of it, then anybody who interferes with me and is not serving me, they don't really fit into my calendar that day.
Mm.
When you look at that building of those relationships, then there's a testimony. I must model what it is to be a Spirit-filled believer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's time. There's thinking of that other's needs. There's tenderness. That is where I literally consider that person valuable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then a testimony
mm-hmm.
of a godly walk, a testimony of a right spirit,
mm-hmm.
of those things. And then I'm also tickled. You know, learn how to laugh
yeah.
together sometimes, because there are times when you will get into a day and the stress gets so intense when things are not going properly that you better learn how to laugh.
Yeah, you're either sometimes going to laugh or cuss, one or the other.
Right, and you take that, the mentality, laughter doeth good like a medicine, and it's a blessing there. Now, relationships are built on trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I pointed out to our directors, we have a mission here, but we've got to maintain our relationships, and these tools have to be utilized and to build those relationships. Then it leads to trust. If a husband and wife are never together, there's not a close relationship, and then there's not a trust relationship.
And there's always a strain.
Because the wife doesn't trust the judgment that the husband made. Husband doesn't trust the judgment that the wife may have made. Well, why did you let the son do that? Or why did you let our daughter do that? Well, if you would have been home, that I would have had somebody to give me some direction here.
Mm-hmm.
And so in good established marriages, if you don't have growing relationships by using tools, then you're going to have automatic mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you're
mm-hmm.
fearing trusting that person morally. It means you don't trust the person's judgments regarding things. And it's just a little bit of stress and strain that happens there. And trust then brings mutual respect. That is, I look at your gifts. You have a genius mentality. You can read a book a day and remember it. I have no measurable brainwaves. And so I have to greatly respect your contribution to the happening of the mission statement of the organization or of the church. And hopefully you have to respect the fact, as much as I stumble around, that I respect that aspect.
Well, the wisdom that God has given you in the years of ministry. And
I see people, for example, I go into our auto shop and I watch our mechanics. And I said, how can you do that without throwing wrenches? Well, they're gifted that way. I mean, I'm convinced that there are God-gifted people to work on automobiles. Not everybody has that gift. I work, but ever since you could not fix everything with duct tape and haywire, I have lost interest in working on cars. The minute you have to plug something in and watch dials and charts, and
oh yeah,
you lose me. And you open the hood and you don't know what you're looking at. I learned how to drive on a Model A, a 1928
wow.
Model A. Well, you lift the hood up, hoods up on the old Model A's. You could sleep a family under the hood, enough room under there. But now you open up, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, you're looking at computers.
But what you do, though, is you mutually respect the gift. I respect what these people can do. And then that brings mutual appreciation. And you say, boy, you know what? I just so much appreciate these directors. I so much appreciate those people who do this, the people who do the electrical work. We called an electrician here Sparky.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, that's not a good name for an electrician. If you're making sparks, you're not a good electrician. And I said, well, that's one of my titles of endearment for Sparky.
Go over those tools again one more time for our listeners.
Well, you have the tool of time. We take this from 1 Peter 3.
Sure.
Where you spend time building a mate relationship, but it's true for all relationships. Then you have thinking. I have to think others' needs. That is, I don't wake up thinking me. I make, what can I do to lift another's load?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, okay, now this is what that department needs. I'm going to just do a little bit today to let them know I'm aware of that need and I'm going to do what I can to help lift that need. Then there's tenderness, where I actually, the word in that, 1 Peter 3:7, is giving honor. Actually, mm-hmm. is to consider precious. Same word that a child is to honor parents, same word to consider precious.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at everybody in my organization as very precious to that organization, like a husband has to see his wife as extremely precious to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the tool of a testimony, where that person models what is a spirit-filled believer, what is a spirit-filled life. So a person says, you know, that man made that judgment, or that lady made that judgment, and because of that person's walk with God, I trust
mm-hmm.
that person's mm-hmm. judgment in that
yeah.
matter. And therefore, because he has a testimony of praying, a testimony of studying the Word, a testimony of right reactions.
Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to that, isn't it? In every relationship, sooner or later, there's going to be a point where everybody in that relationship has to trust.
Exactly. But if you don't exercise the tools, trust is not a given. Well, we're in a relationship, therefore I trust. No, trust is one of those things earned, just like respect is earned.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't delegate you trusting me. That is
I something. Can't command it. I can't just tell you to do it.
No, you can make somebody externally submit, but you can't make them within their hearts submit.
And these tools that you've laid out for us really are the groundwork that God uses to build trusting relationships so that when those moments come when trust is required, it's there.
Yes. If you don't have it, it affects overall mission.
Oh, yeah.
So if I am Satan and I want to crash the mission statement of your church or of this organization, what am I going to go after?
Relationships.
I'm going to go after their relationships.
And that's true in ministry, and that's true in marriage, and that's true in family. And, Doc,
yes.
with that, we're going to have to wrap up this broadcast. But fortunately, this is the first in a series of broadcasts on how to make mission happen. And I know if you're listening, you'll want to get all of the broadcasts, and you'll want to stay tuned for how to get in contact and receive those broadcasts for your own personal use in the future. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.